Thank you for downloading this Shipping Law podcast from Coracle Online and Instanco. Have you downloaded the Emergency Response iPhone app from Ince yet? Just search for Ince in the App Store and grab the free app that gives details of the firm's 24-hour international emergency response service, as well as a live Twitter feed of industry news. This podcast looks at Shell Time 4 and asks, what is the price actually paid for bunkers under Clause 15, with particular reference to the case of Itzen Bulk AS versus TTMI Sal. In common with many disputes that have gone to court or arbitration in the past 3 years, this one took place against the background of the financial crisis in late 2008, when the market for both charter rates and bunker prices dropped considerably. The issue here related to the price to be paid for bunkers on redelivery under Clause 15 of a Shell Time 4 2003 standard form. The Shell Time 4 Clause 15. The 2003 version of Shell Time 4 provides at Clause 15, charterers shall accept and pay for all bunkers on board at the time of delivery, and owners shall, on redelivery, accept and pay for all bunkers remaining on board at the price actually paid on a first-in, first-out basis. Such prices are to be supported by paid invoices. The question for the court was whether the words price actually paid meant the price paid by the party seeking reimbursement under the clause or the price paid when the bunkers were stemmed. The judge, Mr. Justice Eder, upheld the arbitrator's finding that they meant the price paid when the bunkers were stemmed. Firstly, we look at the background facts. In 2007, TTMI let the vessel to Itzen on amended Shell Time 4 terms, the head charter. Itzen then sublet the vessel on a number of voyage and trip sub-charters. The penultimate of those was a trip time charter to Cargill, the Cargill charter, providing for Cargill to pay on delivery and Itzen as disponent owner to pay on redelivery fixed prices for bunkers at rates of $625 per metric ton IFO and $1,100 MDO. When charter rates crashed in late 2008, Itzen let the vessel back to TTMI, the sub-charter, at a rate of hire much lower than that payable under the head charter, but otherwise on back-to-back terms for the remaining period of the head charter. The vessel was delivered to TTMI at the same time as it was redelivered under the Cargill charter. On delivery, TTMI paid Itzen the same fixed price for bunkers that Itzen had paid to Cargill. This was not disputed. TTMI stemmed bunkers twice while the vessel was on sub-charter to them. The rates they paid to bunkers suppliers were $283 IFO in November 2008 and $270 IFO in January 2009. Redelivery then took place simultaneously under the sub-charter from TTMI to Itzen and the head charter from Itzen to TTMI. The price to be paid for bunkers by Itzen on redelivery under the sub-charter was the fixed price expressed in the Cargill charter. This too was undisputed. Itzen claimed that TTMI should pay for bunkers on redelivery under the head charter at the same rate Itzen had paid to Cargill. Itzen claimed this amount in accordance with Clause 15 on the basis that it was the price actually paid by them for the bunkers remaining on board at the end of the head charter. Bunker prices had also dropped in late 2008, and the prices TTMI had paid for bunkers while the vessel was on sub-charter to them were therefore much lower than the fixed rates to be paid under the Cargill charter. TTMI therefore argued that the price actually paid under Clause 15 of Shell Time 4 meant the price they had paid to bunker suppliers. The arbitrators agreed with TTMI. Itzen appealed. So now we look at the commercial court decision. The judge dismissed Itzen's argument that TTMI's interpretation was unworkable because Clause 15 required prices to be supported by paid invoices, and a charterer would not usually be in possession of, nor would they have a right to obtain, invoices issued by a bunker supplier to a third party. Rather, the judge said that while a charterer may have difficulty obtaining copies of the relevant invoices, it would not be impossible for them to do so. Eitzen also argued, in the wake of the Supreme Court decision in Rainy Sky versus Cookman Bank, an Ince case reported on in our January brief, that the words price actually paid had more than one possible meaning and should be given the interpretation that is most consistent with business common sense. In Eitzen's view, the purpose of Clause 15 was to make sure that the transferer of bunkers on delivery or redelivery was reimbursed the price they actually paid for them. Eitzen claimed it would not make good business sense for a party seeking reimbursement to be exposed to the risk of a bad bargain having been struck with bunker suppliers when they had no control over that bargain. Again, the judge was not persuaded. He thought it equally, if not more, inconsistent with business common sense for an owner to be taken to have agreed to pay a price for bunkers over which he has no control and which does not necessarily bear any relation to market prices, if price is fixed by the terms of a subcharter or the amount actually paid to the bunker supplier. TTMI, in support of their case, relied on the use of the words first in, first out, as the basis on which the price actually paid should be assessed under Clause 15. The judge was persuaded by this line of reasoning, in particular because such wording seemed to suggest that the price was intended to be linked to the physical movement of the fuel. In other words, the stemming of bunkers in and the consumption of bunkers out. The judge therefore agreed with TTMI that the price actually paid should be the price paid to bunker suppliers for the fuel being taken in at any particular time, whether this was done by a charterer or a subcharterer. Accordingly, the decision of the arbitrators was upheld, and TTMI succeeded in arguing that the price they should pay to Eitzen on redelivery under the head charter was the price they paid to bunker suppliers when those bunkers were stemmed. The judge acknowledged that Clause 15 of the subject charter is potentially open to more than one interpretation. He also agreed with the arbitrators that the Shell Time 4 standard form is not well suited to being the source document where there is a chain of charters, and that it is more appropriate for use in a long-term charter between two parties who can be expected to have copies of all bunker invoices available to them, and where charterers intend to stem bunkers themselves. This case highlights the need to consider having specially tailored provisions in a string of time charters to deal with bunker prices on delivery and redelivery, rather than simply adopting the standard form charter party language. Thanks for listening.